Well, good afternoon and greetings from the Piney Woods of Northeast Texas. I'm born and raised in the Promised Land. I'm not from Oklahoma. I am from Texas. And so, nothing against folks from Oklahoma. Everybody can't be born here. But some of us have been blessed to be so. I'm so grateful to be here with y'all, though. I am. I appreciate Brother Tom. I met him first some 13 years ago. Before I ever decided to go to preaching school, I met him down in Jamaica. And spent time with him there. Enjoyed the time that we had together. I know that he loves souls because he had made the journey, made the effort. It wasn't just the fact that I'm going to do it where it's convenient. You know, that's when we talk about the Saul of Tarsus, remember, he was a persecutor of the church, but he wasn't just a convenient persecutor. He was ready to go to Damascus, make that even maybe a month-long journey for it. So I met him down there. I found out that he loved souls, but also because of our association through the camp over at Camp Ida that he was a part of for so long. I knew that he loved the souls of young people. Now they have the radio work y'all are doing here with the Harrison Moore Expedition and broadcasting it around the world. The love of souls, and I appreciate that so much. And when he got up this morning, I could tell he was discouraged. And I was hoping that maybe, you said something about it just a moment ago because I was going to, you know, the idea that there may be just a few folks here and it can blow the wind out, take the wind out of your sails so quickly because you work so hard to get these things going, you who are here. But don't let those who are not here discourage you. Look and be encouraged. You're here. You have chosen the good thing today. Wasn't the singing good, especially just a moment ago, Brother Floyd leading that, huh? But we're so grateful, though. So grateful for the privilege and the opportunity. Be encouraged by it. This morning, or this time that we have this afternoon, I say morning because I left this morning and I don't know, we haven't eaten yet, I guess. Maybe that's what it was. We did eat, but I don't know. I mark my time by when I eat. But we're going to be talking about a passage of Scripture, John, the 10th chapter. Turn over there, John, the 10th chapter. We're going to be there. That'll be our base for this lesson. And as we go through it, I'm going to try not to step over Brother Denny's lesson, I'm the Good Shepherd. We're right there together, and it deals so much with the shepherd here. I'm going to try to tread lightly so that we don't overlap and take too much away, and he's like, oh, I was going to say that, and I was going to say that. It's tough when we do that. But what we want to look at is just this lesson. We're going to look at the context of things. We're going to read the verses that we have. We're going to try to make some points about it, and then the lesson will be yours. But take John 10. That's where we'll be. And in John 10, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, that he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. So he tells this parable. It's not the parable as we know, the parabole word, but the parable. Some say it's more of a metaphor or such. I was hoping somebody else maybe would deal with these things. I barely mastered the English language. And so I'm not going to go into you with the speech patterns and such, but I want you to think about this. He tells this, and he says, here's something you understand, folks. You understand about shepherds, and you understand about what the custom was when the shepherd would place his sheep. And here, even in a town, a structure that would be built for housing these. And as he would go in, they would place the sheep in there, and the porter would be at the door, and the door would be kept so that the sheep would not be able to go in or out. No one would be able to go in and take the sheep. He pictures this. If it were the case that they were out into the wilderness and he were taking care of his sheep there, well, he would find a place where he could harbor them up, and the shepherd lay in the place of the door. Those things were there. He paints this picture for them. But they don't get what he's saying. And so now he explains that to them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you that I am the door of the sheep. I'm the door. That's what we're going to look at today. I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enters in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and shall find pasture. And the thief cometh not, but to steal, and to kill, and destroy. And I am come that they might have life, and that they might have life more abundantly. I want us to think about this. We're going to look at these 10 verses. And as we look at these 10 verses, we're going to note some things about the door. Let's just note what can we learn about a door? We have doors, we walk through them all the time. We have how many doors did we walk through to get into this place? I think about 3. I came over here and the door was locked. They didn't want me to come in through the door. But finally, Brother Henry came around and he unlocked the door for me. But we understand that. Let's note some things about a door, see if we can find it in this context. First thing I want you to note about a door is this. Concerning the door provides access. A door provides access into a place. Notice verse number 9 of John 10. I am the door. By me, if any man enters in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Jesus says, I'm going to provide access. I'm the door. Now, when we think about the access that Jesus provides, it is He who opens the door and allows us access to the Father. In Revelation 3 and verse 7, these things saith unto he that is holy, he that is true, he that has the key of David, he that opens and none shall shut. It's Jesus who opens the door for us. It is Jesus who is the path of access to the Father. He's the only path of access to the Father. Acts chapter 4, verse number 12. Neither is there salvation in any other name, for there is no other name under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. And so Jesus provides the door and provides access. But Jesus does not limit the access. He does not say, well, Tom, I'm going to grant you access. But Richard, no, I don't like his kind. See, Jesus has a universal invitation. A door that says, welcome to everyone. Welcome, Matthew chapter 11. Verses 28 and 29, come unto me, all ye who are labored and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Jesus says, come. Come, Richard. Come, all. You're welcome. And so Jesus is offering access. But for one to have access, for one to enter in, one must choose to do what is necessary. And one can only accomplish this by following Jesus. John chapter 10, and notice what he said in verse number 4. John 10 and 4, Jesus here also speaking about the fact of how we can gain this access. But he says, he putteth forth his own sheep, and he goes before them, and his sheep follow him, for they know his voice. If I'm going to have access that Jesus offers, I'm going to have to find the way of access right here. I'm going to have to hear the voice of Jesus. I'm going to have to know the voice of Jesus. And I'm going to have to obey the voice of Jesus. Because it's not enough just to hear it. I must do it. Jesus said in John chapter 8, 31 and 32, He told those Jews who believed on Him, if you continue in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We continue with Jesus, continue in His word, we obey His word, not just hear it. Remember, Jesus would say in Matthew chapter 7, in verse 21, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. It's the fact that I must obey Him, and if I love Him, I will obey Him, John 14, verse 15. It is the fact that Jesus is, as the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 5, 8 and 9, though He were a son, He learned obedience by the things that He suffered, and being made perfect, He became the author, listen to this, of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. If I want access to God, If I want to go through the door, I must obey Jesus the Christ. I must obey the things that Jesus said, the commands that he had given. Oh, it's not difficult. Man makes it difficult. Jesus spoke words that were easy to understand. You know, talk about side notes. I think sometimes we tell people, you know what, you can read the Bible, you can understand it. You don't need some man to show you what the Bible says. But sometimes I need somebody to tell me what the preacher said. They try to fancy it all up. The common man heard Jesus readily. Why can't we just keep it simple? Jesus kept it simple. What did Jesus say we must do to be saved? He said, you have to believe, John chapter 8 and verse 24. Except you believe that I am, the great I am statement's right there. Except you believe that I am, you shall die in your sins. I believe and I have faith and trust in God, as the Hebrews writer says in Hebrews 11 and verse 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. But he that comes to God must believe that he is. That means I believe, but I trust that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so Jesus says, I have to believe with all my heart, and I believe upon hearing the preaching of the gospel. That's what we need. We need more preaching of the light, preaching of the gospel, as Brother Bobby said earlier. We need, as Paul would say to the brethren in Corinth, it was by the foolishness of preaching that God saved men. But too many brethren are preaching foolishness. We preach the truth and people hear it. They hear the word, they believe in Christ, and they obey him when he says that we must repent of our sins, Luke 13 and verse 3. That we must confess his name, Matthew 10 and verse 32. But then he also said in Mark 16:16 that we must believe and be baptized into Christ. You see, that's when it happens. Galatians 3:27. Romans chapter 6, 3 and 4, that's when I enter the door.
Amen.
When I obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, I walk through the door and have access to the Father. Access, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 18, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. In Ephesians 3, 11 and 12, according to his eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith of him.
Yes.
We have access and confidence. In Romans 5, 1 and 2, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what he said, not only peace, but by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope and the glory of God. Oh, we have all of these things before us where we can have access to God. And with this access, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, he says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. I have access to the Almighty God. Have you ever thought about the blessing that that is? The fact that I can approach God, I can approach heaven's throne because of what Jesus did for me? He did his part. God did his part. Man does his part. We are saved by the grace of God through our faithful action, through our faith. And when we walk through that door, we have access. And so doors provide access. The door provides us access to the Father. But then there's something else about the door that we can see in John, the 10th chapter. In John chapter 10, verses 1 and verse 10, the door protects the inhabitants. You see, when you're inside, you're protected from the outside. I don't know how many of you lock your door when you go to bed. I live in a small town. We lock our doors at night. But right now, you can go to my house and my back door is unlocked. If anybody's listening later, it's still unlocked. Okay? But the fact is, We lock our doors at night. Why? Because we want the protection that the door allows. A door protects the inhabitants. Notice verse number 1. Because they can't enter through the door. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Yes. See, the door prevents the thieves and the robbers from coming in that way. In verse number 10, he says the thief is there for one purpose. The thief comes but for to steal and to kill and destroy. But the door is there to give life. A door protects. You know this. This is the idea that the protection that the door had all the way back to the Passover in Exodus chapter 12. Remember in Exodus chapter 12 what the Lord told Moses, what God told Moses to do? In Exodus 12 and verse 7, he said, "And they shall take the blood, and they shall strike it on the two sides of the post, and on the upper door post of the house wherein they shall eat it." He said, "Here's what I want you to do. You're going to take the blood of the lamb, and you're going to cover the door with the blood of the lamb." And what was going to happen? You go a little bit further in verses 12 and 13. He says, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. Against all the gods of Egypt I will execute my judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be for you for a token upon the house where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you when I smite the land of the Egypt." He says it's going to protect the blood on the door. The blood of the Lamb. Exodus 22, a little bit further in, or 12, in verses 22 and 23. And he says, "And you shall make a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning." Now, that's key. God has a location of salvation. And it's in Jesus Christ. It's in His body, the church. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. God has a location. He said, if you're going to be saved, you're going to have not only the blood upon you, the blood upon the door, the blood of the Lamb, but you're going to stay inside. You're going to enter through the door, and you're going to stay inside. We have to stay here. We have to stay in Christ. Oh, how sad it is. How sad it is when you look around. And I know where you worship, there are places, there are empty spots. You can look and say, "Oh, brother so-and-so used to sit over there. I remember when they used to come. I hadn't seen them in years." The sad thing is we say, "I wonder what happened." You see, because the church hadn't been practicing discipline like it ought to, or we'd have known what happened to them. But we were saddened by their absence. They did not stay within the location of salvation. But when we consider, he says, "For the Lord will pass through, and he shall smite the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood upon the lintel and upon the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come unto your house and to smite you." He said, "You'll be protected." Doors protect. Oh, when we think about this, the Passover, remember what Paul told the brethren in Corinth, that church that had so many problems, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, even pointing out the problem when he's telling them how to deal with it. But remember just what he says at the end of that verse in 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. He reminds them, he says, "Christ is your Passover. Christ is the Lamb that whose blood was spread upon the door. Christ is the door that allows access, but Christ also protects those inside him." Oh, what are the blessings that we have in Christ? Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. We have so many spiritual blessings in Christ because that's where all of them are found. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. Just to name a few, think about what I have while I'm inside. When I'm in Christ, Romans chapter 3 and verse 24, I am justified. Justified, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. I'm redeemed. I love that song. I'm redeemed. That means I've been purchased. I've been bought back. And I've been bought back by the blood of Christ. And when he did that, I was justified. And I love that word, justified. You know, I'm a hillbilly. Justified, never sinned. I like that word, justified. And he says we are justified and we have redemption. And when we are justified and have redemption, Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, that means there is no condemnation, therefore, to those who are in Christ Jesus. When I'm there, I enjoy the salvation that Paul says that we all can. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 10, therefore I do endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus. And in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11, I have eternal life. I have eternal life. Because in Christ, he protects me. In Christ, I enjoy that great protection that is there. Notice Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, Romans 8, 35 to 39. He says, who shall separate us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, shall distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Are you going to face troubles while you're living as a Christian? Yes. You're going to have troubles. God never promised that, you know what, a life in Christ is a life without problems. In other words, just the contrary to that, the Bible tells us all who will live godly will suffer persecution. And so living a godly life, yes, you're going to have troubles. When Jesus talks about the man who built his house upon the rock and the man who built his house upon the sand, both of them face the same problems. We're going to have problems, but he says those problems aren't going to separate you from God. They're not going to separate you from the love of Christ. You know who can do that? I can. I can walk out the door. But if I stay within Christ, if I stay in the door, I have persecution. I have the protection that is there. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, and we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Doors provide protection, and the door protects us. One other thing about the doors. When we think about doors, doors prevent intruders. See, the door provides access. The door protects the inhabitants, but it also prevents intruders. Now, when we think about preventing intruders, let's look at verses 2 through 4. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And to him the porter openeth. And the sheep hears his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name. And he leads them out. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Now I want you to notice something. The door prevented anyone else from entering. It prevents intruders. Now, when we think about the fact of preventing intruders, let's go back again to Revelation. The B part of that verse in Revelation 3 and verse 7, remember the first part we looked at is it's he that opens and no man shall shut, but it's he who shuts and no man shall open. You see, there are some who Jesus does not allow to enter. There's some who aren't coming in. Now, what do I mean by that? I want you to think about some verses. I want you to think about what Paul told the elders of Ephesus. He told the elders of Ephesus when he called them to him, you see in Acts chapter 20 and verse 17, that's who he's talking to. He's talking to those elders. And as he's speaking to these men whom God has put as shepherds over the flock, he says, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to the flock over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." He said, when I leave, there are going to be some who are going to be trying to come in. They're going to be trying to get in, but I want them to be prevented from entering in. There are going to be some who try to come in, and what are they going to do? They're not going to spare the flock, but also of your own selves. Of your own selves. He said, now, here's the catch of this. Some of them were already inside. They were already in amongst the flock. He said, some of you, among your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. There are false teachers out there. When we think about what he says in Romans chapter 8 again, Paul reminds us, "I'm persuaded that neither death nor life," then he says, "nor angels." You ever considered what he's talking about there? I mean, angels. What angels? What angels of God would try to remove me from the love of God? Remember, no messengers. It's not the angels of God. It's not those. But think about what Paul says to the church in Corinth in 2 Corinthians 11. He says, "For such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing that his ministers also be transformed into ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." He said there are going to be some who are out there who maybe try to appear to be people of righteousness, people of the book. But all their preaching is something that will pull you away. You know what's hurting the church today? What's hurting the church today? It's not the fact that blatant liberalism is running rampant. Oh, it is. But we have congregations of people who are hearing nothing but the love and the grace and the faith about God. They're not hearing the whole counsel of God. They're not teaching about all the things that God wants us to teach. And because of that, what do you say? So there's congregation over here, and this congregation, what are they teaching wrong? Nothing. What are they teaching right? Nothing. How can I know? I know when I take God's word and I open it and I study and I know it, because Jesus says how I can know and what I can do. He said, "You want to prevent access? Preventing access, John chapter 10 and verse 5. The stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of the stranger." When somebody gets up and they preach something that's contrary to this, they say, "Baloney." That's a Greek word for hogwash. They don't know his voice. But you have to know the voice of the master. You have to know the voice of the shepherd. How do I know the voice of the shepherd? 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. I like the King James Version. Study, New King James, be diligent. But I like that word, study. Be diligent, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. You ever had anybody ask you a Bible question and you were embarrassed because you didn't know the answer? Well, if you've been a good student of the Bible, it's all right. There was no need for you to be ashamed. Because you know what? None of us know everything about everything in the Bible. But a good student of the Bible doesn't have a reason to be ashamed. But I'm able to rightly divide the word of truth, and I'm able to distinguish the voice of the shepherd from the voice of the thief. Because John says in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they of God are of God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world." How do I try them? Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, "I search the scriptures daily." Oh, you can't. I tell you what. Don't get so disheartened and think, "Well, I've got to sit up there and look at every man that stands at the pulpit as if he's a false preacher." Oh, that'll just eat you up inside. You'll ruin your worship. But what you do is you receive the word with a readiness of mind. Eagerness to hear the word of God. Yes. Desiring it and hungering for it. But then you take it and you search it out. To find it true and to find it so. But notice there is a restriction. A prevention of those intruders. In 2 John 9 through 11, "Whosoever transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of Christ has not God. But he that abides in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son. And if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, keep the door closed."
Amen.
"Do not receive him into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that bids him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds." You see, the door prevents access. It prevents the intruders, rather, who try to come in. And in Romans chapter 16 and verse 17, he says, "Point them out. Let people know. You got some thief, somebody running around in your neighborhood, and they broke into your back shed. What are you going to do? You're going to tell your neighbors. You're going to call them up and say, 'Hey, y'all need to be on the lookout. Somebody's been breaking into their sheds up back and stealing their gas cans from lawnmowers.' You need to let them know that, wouldn't you?" God says, "I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause defenses and divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them." The door. Jesus said, "I am the door." The door that provides access. The door that protects the inhabitants. And the door that prevents the intruders. Brother Foy, I'm glad you picked that song. Because that song is the end of this lesson. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any hear my voice, I shall open the door, and I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." Oh, my hope and my prayer and my question today is, will somebody please answer the door? If you're in need of answering that door today, don't you leave here until you do. There's plenty of folks here that will help you out. To help you to walk through that door of access to the Father. Thank you for your time.